individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I am your host, David Pruse. My format is as usual. On Mondays, it's business and economics that affect Fairbanks and the state of Alaska. Tuesdays is my day of politics, so my guests will be based around that. Wednesday, my guest is an interesting Fairbanksan, pioneer local legend, nefarious character, maybe even a retired banker. Friday's all about Fairbanks, what we get to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce this world, this planet, to the wonderful world of Fairbanks, give everyone that Fairbanks fix we need once in a while. I'll try to get your phone calls, but sometimes our conversations just don't stop. Please be patient. I will get to them. Our phone number is 458-TALK, 458-8255. And with that, I got two very special guests in the studio with me, but I think only one's going to be talking. I always pay homage to Mrs. Nancy Murkowski. And then we have her husband, wonderful person, past senator, governor, banker. Frank, how you doing?
Well, I guess I'm doing all right, but I'm not sure. Now he's going to fix me up with the plug-in. Now we got everything done. It's getting better. Hey, I thought my hearing aids just turned on again. Anyway.
You know, I'm not the most technical person.
Oh, you're close, though.
But anyway, how you been doing, sir?
I've been doing just well, and it's nice to see the breakup and no flooding, evidently, knock on wood.
It's right? Early.
It's early still?
It's early, yeah.
Well, the river's open, and anybody won the ice contest in Nanana yet?
Not yet.
Could happen today.
You know, if you want to get a lot of people mad and because they have a later pick, yeah. But I always go for the minute pool. I'm always a minute pool type guy, so one of those type of things.
Yeah, I can remember that for a while there was one fellow was winning it all the time, or far too often.
Yes.
And I could never figure out what he knew that we didn't know.
He would study it. He would go down. Gary Waters, and he'd go
That's
down there.
Who it was? You're right.
Yeah, and he'd
Waters.
Drill, and he would really study it, and he'd take a look at, you know, the almanac, what sort of winter or spring we're going to have, and he'd dial it in. Then he would say, okay, these are my 2 or 3 days, and which minute am I on, the even minute or the odd minute? And that's how he'd do it.
How you doing? Following? Obviously, you're pretty. Informed about the procedure.
Well,
have you been close?
I put in 20 tickets every year.
Do you?
And I put it under the name of Del Pruse and David Pruse, because in 1981, my mom filled out the tickets and the Pruse family won it.
Wow.
We were one of 6 winners. So I got, all of a sudden I get this letter, you know, I'm in California going to school, and I get this letter with an $1,800 check from my mom explaining what happened. And so just because of that, every year I go put in 20 tickets in honor of my mom, and that's the extent of my gambling. It's just in honor of my mom. So,
well, that's a success story if I've ever heard one.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. We're in interesting times, and while you were a senator and a governor, you had to put up with environmental shutdowns of our state resources and our desires to pay for our living up here.
And we're still at it. And it's frustrating. And it's a serious business, because the major resource development projects that have been highlighted, every single one of them is under litigation.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Ambler. And, you know, if you go back to how did things like gerrymandering happen relative to setting federal areas aside for recreation and wildlife and so forth, But that's a meritorious and worthwhile effort, obviously. But when you do it in such a way as to ensure that you can't have a opening across the breadth of Alaska, we have the North Slope Road, north south. We're lucky to get that.
Yeah.
But the way they gerrymandered the withdrawals, there's virtually no open state land available for a road across the state, which is roughly from, you know, the Fairbanks west towards Nome and so forth, that doesn't have to go through a refuge, a wildlife, a wilderness, a combination of federal. So it didn't happen by accident. It happened by
were deliberate.
Those that were opposed to development. So you look at Ambler, you look at ANWR, you look at NPRA, Petroleum Reserve, look at Southeastern Landless, the provision, no roads in the Tongass. What does that mean? You can't mine, you can't find renewable resources, you can't. And yet the implication is, well, somebody wants to cut trees. Well, trees are kind of like fish. They reproduce themselves if you manage them correctly. And we create a fishing industry in the state that's very profitable and returns, obviously, job opportunities and so forth. But in the Southeastern, we've got timber, same concept, renewable, and they don't want any access into the Tongass. And the Tongass is federal.
And you look at the ramifications or the tumble-down theory of that. When they went when the Clinton administration went roadless there, what then did that do to our ferry system?
Well, the ferry system is another enigma.
Yeah, but
it doesn't reproduce.
The passenger.
Well, what happened with the ferry system is they tried to accommodate
everyone.
Every part of the coastal communities that wanted some access, and the coastal communities had certainly every right. But the ferry system was designed for the roadless areas, and that was basically Ketchikan, Juneau, Wrangell, Petersburg, Haines, Skagway,
Sitka.
And Sitka.
Yeah.
And then now they're making, well, in the last year or two, they're making 35 stops with bigger ships that aren't designed for the small communities. So I've got a solution to it, but it suggests a regional authority rather than trying to cover everything. And you know, I can remember as a kid in the old days, they had what they call the mailboats. Community, a small mailboat that went out and we did the villages and so on. And that concept makes sense. And it employs local people rather than outsiders and so forth. And
we have mail trucks that are not don't have the U.S. Postal Service on it. We have those SR route.
Yeah,
you know,
SR routes.
Same concept.
But the problem we've got here, and it's kind of like a creeping movement of influence that we don't know how to handle, and that is the significance of well-meaning environmental groups that are funded.
Well, there is no, that's an oxymoron. Environmental groups in Alaska?
They mean well, but they have no comprehension of the realities associated with an economy and jobs and tax revenue to communities and states.
I don't believe they mean well for Alaska at all. In fact, I believe they mean horrible things.
They think they mean well.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way.
Okay.
And the point I want to make is we don't have credibility to respond with the academic profound statement that you get from a professor at the University of Boston on an issue in Alaska because he's done a PhD on it, as opposed to, hey, the fisheries are renewable, the timber's renewable, it's all a matter of managing it correctly.
Yeah.
And whether you have that expertise. And can you have mines? Well, sure we can have mines. Can we develop them in a responsible manner? Surely. But the point is, we need Alaskan experts that have a standing and a credibility in the scientific area of responding to this huge, which amounts to a huge industry associated with environmental groups, significant lawyers in depth. It's become a business.
Yeah.
And there was the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation recently ran an opinion piece that was in the Journal of Commerce saying, hey, Kaktovik is not a wilderness area.
Yeah.
We are in the 1002 area. We are the 1002 area. But we have, you know, a responsibility for maintaining our conventional lifestyle. And we ought to be heard as opposed to a dictate from the national environmental groups that wants no development in the Anwar area. And what they don't do is tend to break it down so it's detailed. There's 19 million acres in Anwar. 8 million acres in the wilderness, and 9 million acres is in a refuge, leaving 2 million acres that's the 1002 area, which is what Kaktovik's all about. And they're claiming, hey, you're not giving us any consideration for what's ours, our land, and we ought to have some opportunity to be responsive to the job that we are doing. We think we're doing a good job, but for heaven's sake, don't dictate us.
Yeah. We know it better than you up here. They know it better than anyone.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the headline was Kaktovik is not a national monument.
That's right.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 458 Talk, 458-8255, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
There's great news for Alaskans who want to be protected against COVID-19. Anyone 16 or older who lives or works in Alaska can now get the vaccine. Once most Alaskans are protected, we can begin to put the pandemic behind us. We know some of you have questions, and that's understandable. It's your shot, so learn more. For answers about COVID-19 vaccines or to schedule an appointment, go to covidvax.alaska.gov. A message from the Department of Health and Social Services.
Don't miss 50-50 Friday on KFAR. Every Friday morning at 9 a.m. sharp, we offer up amazing gift certificates from different local businesses. That's when they go on sale for half price. From incredible food offers to fantastic services, you'll get it for half price every Friday at 9 a.m. So don't miss out on this offer.
You're in for a real treat this Friday with a relaxing offer from Chena Hot Springs Resort. This is Interior Alaska's go-to place to unwind. For 50-50 Friday, you'll get an overnight stay in the Moose Lodge at Chena Hot Springs Resort with unlimited pool access for just $140. That's half off. Be on this station's website 9 a.m. Friday morning to grab this deal because it won't last long. It's the perfect time of year to visit the famous Chena Hot Springs, and now you can do it for half price with this amazing offer on 50-50 Friday.
This Friday morning at 9 a.m., log on to our website at kfar660.com. Simply click on the red 50-50 ticket in the upper right-hand corner and get your gift certificate for half price. That's 50-50 Friday at kfar660.com.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway, your steel outdoor power equipment dealer for Interior Alaska. See the full line of steel products at The Woodway today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR Weather.
Partly cloudy today with highs around 53. Winds out of the southeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 31 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers. High temperatures reach up to 52. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 40 degrees.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back. Fairbanks, David Pruz in the studio here with Nancy and Frank Murkowski, and we're going to take a phone call real fast. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is? Hello?
This is Mel.
Hello, Mel.
I assume you're taking questions. Is that would you rather not?
Sure.
Well, you know, we picked up your phone call, so do it, Mel. What's on your mind?
I can't hear you on the phone.
Oh boy.
I can hear you on the radio in the background. I can talk that way if that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your however you want to do it.
Well, I just want to say I pointed out to Governor Murkowski once he picked me up hitchhiking about 50 years ago when he was running for something here in Fairbanks. And so I have a soft spot for him, even though I don't agree with him politically. But one thing that I do agree with him on was his proposal to turn the Alaska ferry system into a state corporation like the railroad. That makes a lot of sense to me. That's a huge problem down there. I've only spent a little time in Southeast, but they deserve the same attention as any other part of the state. And I think that was a good idea, and I'd like to know if that still has momentum, and I'll hang up and listen on the radio, obviously.
Mel, thanks for the phone call, and my board's set up the way it should be set up, and sometimes, you know, technology happens. I appreciate the phone call.
Governor? Well, I'm happy to respond to Mel, and what's happening to the ferry system is an evolution where they have expanded the number of port calls to 35 coastal communities in Alaska the last year at least, and they're trying to do it with a smaller budget, fewer ships, and that just can't continue. And as a consequence, the governor's proposing to take some of the emergency funds and try and reestablish, but I don't think that's enough. I've done a extensive analysis, which has been printed in Anchorage and Juneau and Ketchikan, is pending here in the local newspaper, about a regional operation which feeds, if you will, Alaska as well as tourism. But it's a different type of tourism. Mm-hmm. We think of tourism as cruise ship tourism. That's the big volume. But
yeah,
those ships are built to carry cars,
yeah,
vehicles, your trailer, whatever. And there's a large potential that we've never tapped. And that is the camper traveler that,
yeah,
wants to. And, you know, a cruise ship can't take his camper. The airplane can't take it. So that's what we have to capitalize. And the idea is to regionalize sections and establish a level of service that meets the needs of the community and that the community can support, like a system in Prince William Sound, which is much smaller, a system from Prince Rupert and Bellingham that will feed Ketchikan, Wrangell, Petersburg, Juneau, Haines, Skagway, Sitka, and bring people up so you can hit the highways. Right now, we are fenced off by Canada. We don't have any access, basically, from the state of Washington through British Columbia to get up to the Alcan Highway. The Canadians say, don't come now.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to.
Well, you know, Canada, we're not going to forget this.
Yeah.
We will not forget this.
So as a consequence, to ask, we have looked at the railroad. The advantage the railroad has is they have an income source outside the railroad revenue from the real estate that they, mm-hmm, have in Anchorage and Fairbanks, commercial real estate. They generate quite a bit of money.
And their gravel sales.
Yeah. And but the suggestion of the caller that we get some other structure is appropriate, and I think that's what's going to happen out of this. But I'd urge the reader to read, if you can find it, the Anchorage Daily News day before yesterday. There's quite an article in there about redesign of the system.
It does need to be done, and it, boy, you have ships that are an average age of 40 years old.
50.
You would know.
I know. I was there to tie up the Malaspina, yeah, in 1963 along with the rest of the town.
Yeah. And, boy, you know, like a bridge, they have a lifespan of 50 years, and they're
they put them to sleep in the wintertime once in a while, so they get a little longer life out of them.
Okay. Okay.
You know, one of the phenomena that struck me today, of all things, is we talk about our frustration with the feds.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had a federal authority here, federal authority there, we talk about ANWR, NPRA, we talk about AMLR, we talk about the landless. And I'm going to just read a very short shot, if I may. And it says, and I want the listeners to kind of pick up on this because it's very meaningful in my opinion. It says, judging from the turnout at Wednesday night's Fed Up with the Fed rally at the Pioneer Park City Center, there are plenty of Fairbanksans who are fed up with the federal government. An estimated 300 to 400 people showed up to protest what they feel are intrusions by the federal agencies in Alaska. There were miners, there were hunters, fishermen, boaters, pilots, and average Alaskans. Those who arrived earlier received a National Park Service bumper sticker with two red swastikas on and given to a man who was handing them out. The date of this was April 28th, 2011. My point is we're talking about the same federal frustration that Alaskans have relative to federal dominance in our state.
Yeah.
Feds own two-thirds of the state of Alaska. And, you know, the policies are dictated by, well, when I'll use the word well-meaning one more time, you can take me on, but people who think they're doing something responsible and they are unable to capture the realization that people live in the Tongass, people live in Anchorage and Fairbanks and Kenai and Saldaten and wherever, they have to make a living. And we have to be identified as a resource state. We have oil, gas, timber, fish, minerals.
That was our statehood compact with the national government.
And our economy is very fragile. We've lost 5,000 jobs in the timber industry because you can't cut trees. Why? Because you can't get into the Tongass because it's federally controlled, and there's a dictate from environmental groups that don't want timber cut, yet it's a renewable resource.
Yeah.
As we develop our fisheries resource.
And if you do it correctly, you have enough time frame where your cutting can be scheduled over a 200 to 300 year period.
We had an industry down there for about 30 years. We had 2 pulp mills, 9 sawmills. We got 1 sawmill left at Kowak. That's it. We had 5,000 jobs, now we have 300. We cut less than 1/10 of 1% of the standing timber in the Tongass during that time. So,
Thank you, President Clinton.
That's right. He vetoed it, and that was it. But the point is, credibility. We need people in our universities, particularly, that have an academic capability
to refute,
to act as an authoritative source. You know, it's like, okay, what about the caribou on the North Slope? If you don't allow hunting, some people say, most of the caribou are annihilated when they cross the Dempster Highway because the hunting is pretty easy. Bang, 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 bang. Throw them into your pickup and go.
You know, the University of Alaska that started an esports complex, maybe they should start a defense of Alaska environmentalism.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Something like that is sorely needed. And, you know, we're somewhat our own worst enemy relative to what's happening. If you look at some of the, with the Gwich'in, for example, you know, they're an interesting native indigenous group. About 1,100 are in Alaska, about 3,000 are in Canada in the Yukon Territory. They are infiltrated, in my opinion, by environmental groups that fund them.
Yeah.
And they've taken a position, no activity on the slope.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate because the people.
They're not from the slope either.
No, the Kaktovik people want responsible development.
Yeah.
And if we don't have an economy in the state, what kind of a university system are we going to have? What kind of opportunities are we going to have for our younger people? You've got to have a strong economy. Mm-hmm. And if you can identify what's going to support the economy of the state of Alaska, other than what I mentioned, oil, gas, timber, fish, minerals, tourism, then I'd like to know what it was. Because government can't do it all and won't do it all. We've seen this gas pipeline. Congress is not going to fund a pipeline for the state of Alaska. They're not going to fund a pipeline that's not the product is not owned by responsible major corporations that have the capability of marketing and building and so forth. So the prospects for our gas pipeline to come down from Prudhoe to Tidewater in the Kenai area is not economically viable at under the current price structure.
Governor, we're going to take a break for Fox News, state news, weather. But I want to thank you for picking up Mel as a hitchhiker during your first senatorial run.
Okay.
Fairbanks will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The FBI searching the New York City apartment of former President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani.
The New York Times reporting that investigators seized his electronic devices. It's part of the ongoing criminal investigation into Giuliani's dealings with Ukraine and whether he broke lobbying laws while representing former President Trump.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. A judge in North Carolina refuses for now to release body camera video from the police shooting of an unarmed black man. Attorney Michael Toddy petitioned the court on behalf of the media.
Everyone can have their opinion on what happened. The video may or may not show what happened or how it happened. And so releasing that will provide the information. The best vaccine to rumor is fact.
The judge also says authorities must show the family of Anthony Brown Jr. more footage than the 20 seconds they previously saw. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska State Troopers say human remains were found in a freezer partially buried in the woods near mile 112 of the Togue Cutoff. In an online dispatch, troopers did not say how long the remains were there, only that they responded around 6 a.m. on Monday to a call about the freezer, which was approximately 100 feet from the road. Troopers did write that once on the scene, they were able to determine that there were indeed human remains in the freezer. The remains were taken to the state medical examiner in Anchorage to be examined and identified, according to the dispatch. Trooper spokeswoman Gretchen Weiss-Brooks said more details will possibly be released today. The investigation is ongoing. And finally, Alaska State Troopers and the Wasilla Police Department are increasing patrols around schools in the Matsu Borough School District after parents and school officials reported an older woman has attempted to get children to come with her. Troopers in local schools are also encouraging parents to remind their children to be aware of their surroundings and to never accept rides from people they don't know. At least two reports have been made of an older woman in a red SUV attempting to make contact with students, asking them to come with her. The first incident was reported earlier in April and allegedly occurred on Kinnick Goose Bay Road, and the second incident happened Monday in Big Lake.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Stop into Batteries Plus Bulbs and save on Duracell Ultra Boat, RV, Motorcycle, and Lawn and Garden Batteries. See website for offer details and limitations.
When you get home from a deployment, transitioning back to civilian life can be pretty rough.
Army veteran Kyle Kaiser of Peters Creek.
It was my local union that helped me get on track, and now I work with other veterans to do the same thing for them.
Unions helping veterans. That's what happens in Alaska. But big corporations have made it almost impossible for workers to join or form a union.
That's why we need the PRO Act.
The PRO Act makes it easier for anyone to join or form a union, so you can earn an honest living, save for college, and get the health care you need. That's why Congressman Don Young voted for the PRO Act. Now we need our senators to do the same.
Thank you, Congressman Young. The PRO Act will make a world of difference to Alaska veterans just like me.
Call 1-866-832-1560 and tell your senators it's time to support the PRO Act, because getting a fair return on your hard work shouldn't be this hard. Paid for by the AFL-CIO.
You've sat in that chair for years. You love that chair. But something isn't right. There's a wiggle that wasn't there. Now you're missing a cap screw that definitely was there. Need a fastener? If it hooks up, holds on, hangs on, clips on, glues on, bolts on, screws in. If it fastens stuff together, Sentry has it. And the largest selection of nuts, bolts, screws, and washers in the interior. Standard to metric, chrome, galvanized, stainless. Sentry Hardware. What you need right now.
Do you constantly worry about having enough stomach acid pills in your purse or jacket pocket when you go out? We get it. But do you know the long-term use of antacid medications can actually make the heartburn worse and cause other problems like infections, osteoporosis, anemia, and other diseases? It's important to actually fix this stomach problem. At White Spruce, we know how to treat this disease, ultimately reducing your dependency on these medications and improving your digestive health. This is Dr. Bernie Valero at White Spruce Medical. Treat the cause, live the cure.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruse in the studio here with Nancy and Frank Murkowski. Great having you both in here. Thank you very much. Now, Governor, you ran every part of the state government, and you have a thought now that they should be taking the Department of Transportation, DOT, and separating it from the ferry system.
That's correct. And the rationale is we've tried the experiment with government and to bring it down closer to the people that are affected.
Yeah.
That's where you get the best government, the government that's closest to you. So you can respond to them and they can respond to you.
You know, I agree with you with that concept because the DOT is made for maintaining roads and building roads, maintaining airports.
Airports and roads.
And that's what they want to do. System.
That's correct.
They don't want to run ferries.
No, and they do it. They do those things quite well, relatively speaking. I mean, you got a lot of unique problems. You got permafrost in Alaska you don't have in the state of Washington. But in any event, the process, I think, is underway, and it'll take a little while to digest. And what the proposal consists of is involving the communities. And Whitcomb County, down in near Bellingham, they operate a small ferry system. Mm-hmm. We operate one out of Ketchikan to Hollis, to Prince of Wales Island. And it came to as a consequence of Craig Klawock and Heidelberg coming together and basically working with the state to put together two ships, the Stikine and the Prince of Wales, and they're running back and forth every day, year-round, between Hollis and Ketchikan. So, and Prince of Wales has over 100 miles of paved road. It's a beautiful area for visitors that want to camp out. And so my point being, we can do something similar to that with the cooperation of the state, I believe, involving the communities. And that's for Southeastern, for Prince William Sound and others. We need a different type of regional authority similar. I've had some conversation with Governor Walker on this idea, and he's very, very supportive of the concept. So I think we got an evolution coming.
You know, I get a little bit aggressive at times, and this way I was brought up, being the youngest boy in a family with two older brothers, you know. But I look at our state and I say to myself, we just had a federal government entity stop the Pebble Mine, which is on state land.
That's right.
So I look at that and I say, I'm a real estate broker, as an appraiser. That is a governmental taking. That's an eminent domain. We should be recompensed for that taking because they took it.
You are correct in your assessment. And how they took it is the tragedy.
Yeah.
They took it not based on sound science, but on an emotional argument that that mine would jeopardize the runs of Reds in Bristol Bay.
Yeah.
Now, there's a risk in anything that we do, but you try and analyze the risk based upon the prospects, and if you can't eliminate all risks, but you can reduce the risks, and you could theoretically make your decision on experts that put their reputation behind their recommendation and then make a judgment. We didn't get that far on that one because of public perception that this would have a grave impact, and it would have potentially a grave impact if it failed.
Yeah.
I can recall over in London meeting with, when I was governor, meeting with one of the companies that was involved in Pebble at that time, a major worldwide company, Rio Tinto. And their design for mining was an inverted tunnel, like an inverted.
Yeah.
So they come from the bottom.
A cone going down. Yeah.
And so they wouldn't disturb the surface.
Yeah.
Now, that's one plan that was kicked out and evidently abandoned. But that suggests a technology that would address legitimately the concerns. But the unfortunate thing there is that is on state land. And, you know, you can take a look at Red Dog, for example. Mm-hmm. That's created the first year-round jobs we ever had
in that region,
in Western Alaska.
Yeah.
And they need, you know, some alternative opportunities. So these are things that frustrate all Alaskans. But again, I get back to credibility. And what I'm getting at is so much of our issues relative to resource development are commented on by outside so-called experts at our various national universities who happen to have some expertise in the area, but they don't live in Alaska. I mean, that's we right. talk about the polar bear with some activity up there. We don't shoot the polar bear. We can't. It's against the
yeah,
law.
It's
a marine mammal. But they do it in Russia and they do it in Canada.
Now you just can't import it into America.
Yeah, and yet these polar bear run the whole Arctic and they follow the food chain.
They know no boundary.
And if you want to do something to help the polar bear, let's use our influence on Canada and Russia to knock off. And, you know, the myth about the caribou on the North Slope, as we've discussed, they've increased some of the herds.
Yeah.
And, you know, massively. It's a matter of managing it. We don't want to decimate it.
Yeah.
But the idea that oil happens to be under the area and we've got an investment that provides, you know, a return to the permanent fund, it provides a dividend and so forth.
Provides
and we've got
lot
to protect
jobs,
that.
Too.
A lot of jobs, yeah. Mrs. Murkowski, yeah. A lot of jobs.
Tell us a bit, how's your breast cancer deal going, Nancy? You know, the
we're doing just fine. I think you're referring to our waterfall foundation.
Now Fairbanks? Yeah. Nancy Murkowski was one of the 8 founders of the Breast Cancer Detection Center in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Right.
Most people don't ever remember that.
Well, that's because it was a long time ago.
Yeah, but you started it. And you all operated out of a little building in a parking lot across from the Northward Building where Mount McKinley Bank is now.
That's
yeah, but
right.
Alaska National Bank was then there.
That was
yeah,
there.
That's right. Yeah, okay. Okay.
We had our drive-in branch.
Did you give her that building to use?
Yeah, well, no. I'll tell you what happened. The guys, we got that little building and we put it in a drive-in and they said, what are you going to do in the basement? I said, I don't know. What are you going to do? We ought to have an athletic club. I said, well, you know, we did.
Yeah.
And you know what we did? Nothing. They didn't use it.
Yeah.
They're too busy. So then they took it over. Go ahead.
Yeah, we just borrowed it, I think. And your mother was our nurse.
Yeah, yes, I used to drop her off and pick her up, you know. And
absolutely.
She wouldn't ever take me to work, though.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah. But it's interesting because I don't think people realize that we started this in 1974.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago, and we're still.
Mrs. Lundquist was with you on it?
Yes, absolutely.
Who are.
Mary Jane Fate?
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Well,
some fantastic
what are you doing
ladies.
Now?
We have our own standalone
building,
area,
on,
as you know.
Of cowls.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
And where does the money come from?
The money is. A lot of the money is coming from sponsors in the community.
Yeah.
Like Sears, but
don't make
Safeway's very good.
You're getting accusatory there, Governor. Don't make us have
we don't want an argument.
Don't you catch some fish
but,
down there?
But since 1994, Frank and I have sponsored a fundraiser down at Waterfall Resort.
Mm-hmm.
We can take 92 people, and this year we have 89 already accounted for, and this is like 4 months away from the event. It's extremely popular. We've been able to give the center $250,000 every year.
And it's the family tree. Eileen, your daughter.
She's our executive director.
Yeah.
She does a fabulous job.
She knocks it out.
Yes, she sure does.
You know, whenever she gives me a call, whatever she wants, I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. Simple as that. You know, I've known her most of my life. And whenever she calls, bam.
Yep.
You know, she pulls that. We went to high school together, David.
Okay, David.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
She does a great job.
Well, how much money have you raised?
I am not totally sure, but around $8
million. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ponder that.
Yeah. Imagine that.
And it goes to help people in Fairbanks for health services.
And
also
when we give our amount, we've gone down to $200,000 every year for the center here. But the rest of the money that we're able to give, we give to hospitals and cancer groups around the state. No money leaves the state. That's our.
And it all started here with 8 ladies sitting around saying, we need to do something.
Right.
And you put your heads together, and all of a sudden, bam.
Yeah.
This is a lasting legacy.
It sure is.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
So, you thought you had just enough firewood to get you through winter. Ha! Wrong! Hey, this is Fairbanks, where sometimes winter sticks around. So hit up Aurora Energy Solutions. Score a full cord of kiln-dried firewood ready to go for just $350. Available right at their First Avenue location downtown. Don't have a truck? Hey, during the month of April, you'll even get free delivery. Not bad, right? Keeping the house warm and the air clean. Thanks to Aurora Energy Solutions, check out everything they offer online at heatyourway.com.
It's a calling that's kept us free. It's a place to belong. What's the calling? Being a member of the Air Force Reserve. It's doing a job that makes a difference. Serving your community and your country. It's part-time service where the impact is full-time. And the experience, education, and other benefits you receive can enhance your civilian career and your life. What's your calling? Air Force Reserve. To find out about local job opportunities with the Air Force Reserve at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, call 800-257-1212 or go to afreserve.com. This message is sponsored by the Air Force Reserve and aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association at this station.
Hi, I'm David Pruz. I teach the only state of Alaska real estate pre-licensing course based in Fairbanks, and it's with in-class training. We are all extremely tired of Zoom. To get a real estate license, you have to take a 40-hour pre-licensing course and pass the state test. I have continually taught this in-class program over the past year without any issues. My early May class is designed to have you operating in real estate this summer. Give me, David Pruz, a call at 479-7000, that's 479-7000, to start your real estate career.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Cooper and Bridgestone Tires for everything you tow and every car, truck, motorhome, and SUV you drive. GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR, weather.
Partly cloudy today with highs around 53. Winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lulls level off around 31 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers. High temperatures reach up to 52. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 40 degrees.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruz and Siri here with Nancy and Frank Murkowski. Now, I'm going to get down and dirty with you two.
That's fair enough.
I don't know about
that. Out of all your grandkids.
Yeah.
Who's the best duck hunter?
Who's the best what?
Hunter.
Duck hunter, not duck hunter.
Oh, hunter.
Hunter is?
Hunter,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Who's the best fisherman or fisher girl?
I am.
The gals are.
No, Mary Judson has always caught a king.
My daughter, Mary.
Yeah.
They've got cleaner hands.
Oh, oh. Her husband does that for her.
They don't have to bait their own hooks.
Okay.
But they got cleaner hands. I don't know. Mary always catches the big fish.
Yeah, I remember Eileen. She was always the best duck plucker.
She's a good duck.
Yeah,
and good,
she is a good duck.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's okay.
True.
Well,
anyway.
Okay, those are my down and dirty, you know.
Okay, well, one of our grandsons, Mike's youngest son, just joined the Marines.
Wow.
And
yeah.
I'm
thank him for serving, yeah.
That is
well, tell him a little bit about what it's like going
well,
to boot
what camp. I wanted to say was joined the Marines as a recruit, and he had to go through the boot camp thing. But in the boot camp thing, he got
marksmanship
medal for superior shooting, mm-hmm. 500 yards in the rain and the wind. Mm-hmm. And at any rate, he says, well,
I'm an Alaskan.
In Alaska.
Yeah, what do you expect?
I know how to shoot.
Yeah, what do you expect?
Yeah, so great.
I came
great.
To this well-trained with this family.
Yeah.
Now, when you talk about moose hunting, did you let him shoot or just make him clean and pack?
Oh, they do
oh,
that.
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh. You should see Hunter skin a moose.
Yeah.
He can do that in 10
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah.
He's got some kind of a deal that just goes, you know.
Yep.
It's not a knife like you and I used to.
Yeah.
It's a new deal. So.
Yeah.
Well, a lot going on. I
yeah.
don't know. One thing I'm, you know, as an old banker, I'm concerned about, and that's what's happening in our society today relative to the free money
yeah.
that's going on. Sets it. An example that obviously people need assistance, the pandemic and the implications of that. But where is the money coming from? Now, ordinarily we say, well, you know, we pay our taxes and that's where the money comes from.
You're selling treasury notes.
It's not happening that way. It's coming from debt.
Yeah.
Treasury notes are being sold by the Department of Treasury at because the interest rate's relatively low. It's between 2 and 3%. But it has to be paid back. And we're somewhere over 2.3 trillion in
just this latest round.
Yeah, but let me tell you the other guy that's out there while you and I sleep. Interest goes on.
Yeah.
And you have to pay interest on the principal. If the principal is a couple
interest never sleeps. Interest never sleeps.
It never sleeps.
Yeah.
So it's
and it's compounded.
Absolutely. And our generation probably is going to get hit with when the bear goes through the buckwheat, but at some point in time it has to be paid for.
Yeah.
And then how are you going to pay for it? Who owns the debt?
China?
Japan? Europe? So it's a
They're not selling war bonds to Americans.
Yeah, and how do you cure it? You want to grow the economy. That's the easiest excuse
solution
to use it. The other is to cut expenses. Well, that's a tough one to do. The third one, and only federal government can do it, print money.
Raise taxes.
Print money.
Yeah.
Inflation.
Yeah.
So if you're on a fixed income, you're in trouble.
Yep.
But I just feel very strongly that we've got to be careful. And the state, you know, how much can they afford to pass out? You build a constituency politically when you pass out free money.
Yes, you
but
do.
But what's in the long-term interest of the state and the structure we have? And young people in having an environment where, you know, we've got to be able to provide job opportunities or the kids won't stay here. They'll leave, okay? And how do you create jobs? Well, we've seen what we can do on the North Slope, mining and so forth, but we got to be allowed to do it. And that's why I implore our academic community to start to stand up and be the source of information on what you can and can't do scientifically within Alaska. And I challenge the University of Alaska to be more prominent in that area because we've got some bright
people. Defend our state. Defend our state.
A guy by the name of Paul Metz out probably knows more about mining prospects, and I'm sure there are more. But we've got to be able to bring them up as our voice that's got a legitimate and academic history and background to tell our story and get it out there, because what's happened, again, the national environmental communities have huge influence, and the influence is based upon people who believe it must be right to do because nobody challenges them with a counter proposal on, hey, we know what we're doing, and we can do certain things right. We can develop an economy and still protect our environment and our land. And I find it so frustrating when I see a professor from Maine commenting on a resource in Alaska and what we should do with it.
Yeah.
Those ought to be Alaskans that have the expertise that stand up for what they believe is right.
I so heartily agree with you. Wholeheartedly agree with you. And there's Pat Pittman, she's the new president up there. Mm-hmm. If she's given that position in a long-term basis, maybe she'll do something like that. But we'll see. Time will tell.
Well, I hope so, because the future of the state, you know, we're a critical sport, whether we know it or not, you know. We're coming off a season with no tourism.
Yeah.
Okay. We're coming off in Southeastern with
no timber.
No
transportation. No cruise ships.
We don't have an economy anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have what made little communities tick. And that is some kind of a
local job. A local job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
From a resource. A local job from a resource.
That's right.
You said at the beginning, we're a resource state.
And the only difference is we're coming into our own when the rest of the states went through this stage 110 years ago.
Yeah.
And we're all by ourselves. We don't have much in common with Hawaii.
We're living in Wrangell in the summertime. And they used to have a big mill there, lots of timber jobs in the woods and up and supporting and longshoring. Now we have nothing, and Wrangell has become known as a retirement community, which is a real shame.
Isn't that something?
Oofta, yeah.
Fishing's pretty good, though. Duck hunting's not bad.
That's true.
So you moved to a retirement community.
No, we go there for the crabbing
like
and the shrimping.
We have a lot of time fishing. Anyway.
Well, you know, we got about 4 minutes left, and a couple things I want to thank you for is your lifetime dedication to the state of Alaska, no matter where you've lived. You've always dedicated yourself to Alaska, and you've implemented that with your children and your grandchildren, third generation.
We got a great grand one coming.
Yeah.
First one.
Hunter.
Hunter's going to have a baby.
Well, his wife is going to have the baby. But
well, baby boy, anyway. Whatever.
So we're starting again.
Thanks for what you're doing,
yes.
Because you're spreading the word. And, boy, I tell you, we've got a great opportunity, but we've got to capitalize on it because we got to be specific. We've got to be honest. Where is the economy going to come from?
Yeah.
You don't develop the resources without capital investment, a risk associated with the investment, a market. You got to be honest. Right now, we can't compete in the world market for our gas on the slope. We got more gas. We know what to do. But to get it out and get it to market, the economics are gone. You need $6 gas.
Yeah.
Gas is at $3.
And just to get it to market is $6.
And, you know, that's just a harsh reality. Now, there's a we don't have much time, but there's an interesting prospect of trying to take it directly off the slope like the Russians are doing in the Russian Arctic.
Yeah.
Where you don't run it through a pipeline.
Yeah, and boating it out. Yeah.
The problem, you got long runoffs out there, you got ice conditions, and you don't have the holders of the gas leases promoting anymore.
It's like their land bank.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's like their land bank. And I enjoyed what you're trying to do. You're trying to make them pay a fee for holding it without developing it.
Yep.
When you're governor.
Yeah.
And because basically it's a land bank. They don't have to do anything. Hold it as long as they want.
Well, we took Exxon to, you know.
Yeah.
Judgment was $500 million in favor of the state because of Point Thompson, and they weren't developing. They were going to sit on it. I said, no, you can't do that.
And then let's take it away from you.
Yeah, we'll take it away.
Yeah. Anyway, I so appreciated when you did that. You were first governor who had both the cojones, the brains, and the deliberation to do it. So I thank you for that. We got about a minute left. Mrs. Murkowski, it's always a pleasure
to be here.
It's always a pleasure to see you.
Always good to be in Fairbanks.
You know, thank you for being patient with me as a kid.
Snow is still here. You know, I always used to say that the leaves are going to come out on the trees on the 7th of May, because that was generally when graduation up at the university occurred. And it was always beautiful and sunny and green. I hope I'm right.
Governor Murkowski, thank you again for being here. Yeah. You know, anytime you two are in town, you know, you always have a seat.
You know, we're here because our duck shack, you know.
I know that duck shack.
Yeah, well, we had to move it. We had to move it 83 feet this last winter.
Ah. Yeah. The bank was eroding more.
Oh, yeah. Bank
always does.
Water's rising.
Yeah, and now we've dug an outhouse. But I looked down and I decided that this should be drilled. This should be dug by the kids.
Yeah. Well, we said it was deep enough for our generation.
Anyway.
Fairbanks, you have a great day. I will see you on Friday. I'm going to have Joni Skillbred in here, my historian friend. And we're doing Rusty Herlihan, his life and experiences and how he came up here. And it's an extensive one. It's a great one. And I will see you on Friday. You have a great day.
Rusty Herlihan.